My talk is about scaling configuration management, but I don't want to talk about practicals as much as what we have to do as a community. I think that's an important discussion that we haven't had that much. So what's configuration management? It's a fun field. It's filled with great companies and great tools. And we know all of them because we work in that field. CF Engine, Puppet Labs, Opsware, Beaconfig, and there's many others. I just simply didn't have space to list all of them. But we have the same needs. We have inventory management, configuration management, ease of use, you name it. We know we need the same things, and we have to solve them. And the question is, how does that scale? Well, within configuration management, we have special needs, which are not as common outside our field. We have to worry about all of the things on this slide. Within the enterprise, we have to worry about reporting, compliance, and performance. Within the cloud, in the cloud context, we have to worry about tracking instances, scaling from one to all the way to N, and N can get large. And we have to be able to forget the hype about the cloud. We have to get our job done, regardless of the scale. And we have networking needs, which are fairly different in the sense that we have to worry about provisioning IPv6, provisioning, monitoring ports and protocols, again, in the scaling from one to N. And I put a link in here from a Forrester research that was published recently about how bad habits are hard to break in the cloud. Basically, all the things that we learn to do badly at the local scale, we end up doing badly in the cloud too. Inventory management, underuse or over-provisioning of machines, and so on. So infrastructure needs for scaling. What do we need? We need a way to discover our peers in a standard way. And this is within the configuration management context. We need to be able to use protocols like ZeroConf, DNSSD, Multicast, or even simple UDP, because the traditional registration methods for instances and servers and all kinds of pieces of our infrastructure for configuration management are painful. And we've experienced this. I know you have, because it's one of the most common pain points is how do you find the policy server, how do you register with it? And I know Puppet and Chef and CF Engine have different ways of doing it, but it's the same idea. I want to discover, I want to connect, and I want to exchange some kind of security context. inventory management. We need a simple, fast, portable, flexible, rule-based or hierarchy-based way to manage our inventory. So what does that really mean? We need tools that work. They simply work anywhere. They need to be simple, fast, right? We need them to run on a small machine, and we need them to run on a big machine the same way. We don't want something that stutters or dies on a small EC2 instance. And rule-based or hierarchy-based, what I mean by that is that our inventory should be able to structure it as a hierarchy of here are all my database servers, here are my web servers, and under them we have branches of other purposes. And you should obviously be able to do rules where you say, for every machine matching this subnet, we want to apply, this security rule. And finally, our infrastructure need for configuration management scaling is how to provision and manage instances, how to track and monitor them. And again, the problem is very simple when you're dealing with 1 or 10 machines. When you scale it to N, it gets very complicated. So we need aggregation, we need reporting, we need scalable solutions. So performance and efficiency across the machine's lifecycle. We need to be able to manage the machine, configuration manage the machine, well. We need to do it without delay. We need to implement policies efficiently and in a scalable way. Agent reporting, So you're running on a machine, you need to be able to report what you've done in a scalable way. That's usually that's done with intermediates. That's not necessarily the best way to do it, depending on how much you care about the truth. And I will get to the consistency versus availability in just a minute. We need efficient distribution of policies and metadata. Metadata is half part of inventory management, and it's partly what you decide a machine should know. There are some security issues there, but generally you want to distribute your policies and metadata as efficiently as possible and as scalably as possible, right? The different configuration management tools have different ways of doing that. I think a neutral way is just as valuable as something that's binary or built in. And finally, knowledge. You need knowledge at the top level, but your policies are not static, right? They're something you adapt to your situation. There's a cycle here. You learn something at the top, and then you adapt your policies to that new knowledge, and it goes down all the way to the bottom level. You learn new things about how those policies affect your, all your machines, and then you learn and adapt again. So, now, this is related to what I was talking about earlier about efficient distribution of policies and metadata. I think configuration management has its own view of the CAP theorem. Now, hands. Who here knows about the CAP theorem? Essentially, the CAP theorem was presented by Professor Brewer. He came up with it over the several years, but it was the definite version was presented at a data conference in 2000. And it says that there's a fixed trade-off between consistency, availability, and partition tolerance. It's intended for databases, but I think it makes a lot of sense for us as well, for configuration management. A simplistic view of the CAP theorem is that you have to pick two out of three, consistency, availability, or partition tolerance. But I don't think that's not an accurate view of it. It's more in the sense, what it's trying to say is that you have to be able to tolerate partitioning. You have to be able to provide consistency and availability, and you have to understand how those features trade off against each other, because you simply cannot have all three. It's not pick two out of three, it's you can't have all three, but you know, try to figure out how to deal with a failure in your network, for instance. The CAP theorem was discussed further by Gilbert and Lynch, and it was proven by them. And Brewer recently talked about it. This was actually published just a week ago, so it's a very good article, very relevant to our world. So how does the CAP theorem have meaning for us, for our field? Well, I believe that consistency is a state. Consistency is something you have, right, in the database context. But within our field, we're dealing with convergence. That's a process. So convergence, it's always a balancing act. It's time dependent. You cannot provide consistency on an absolute level with the OS. You know, it's not a database, it's not a single software product, it's a bunch of systems working together. By definition, it's unbalanced, and our job is to converge it to a stable state. So the CAP theorem originally lacks that time element, especially it doesn't talk about latency. And really, latency is what causes partitioning, right? Because when you have a partition, you're just saying, well, the latency is too much, I can't reach the other side, so there's a partition. We have to figure out how to apply the CAP theorem and all the research that's gone into it into our field, I believe. So the research is still ongoing. I hope to give you more tangible results than just a few quick slides. But if you're interested in it, just talk to me, and I'll bring you up to speed, and I'll tell you what we have coming up. Now, within the configuration management space, we talked about tools at the beginning. I think tool makers need to collaborate. So I'm a programmer, hacker, open source is my world. I think that we need to work together And we need ways to collaborate. So this is slide one. There's actually two of these. Benchmarks is not the only thing. Benchmarks, I think we need neutral benchmarks of key characteristics. We need to look at performance and resource usage in cloud environments, because as we talked about, scaling from one to N means you have to be able to scale your resources. And using what's acceptable in a small cluster is just not acceptable in a large one. We're not talking just about resources, CPU, and memory. We're talking about network usage. We're talking even about power usage and how well you manage your idle state. The second slide for collaboration standards. For inventory management, I think we need standards. We need a way to share what you know. We need to make it easy to move between configuration management systems, because what works in half your cloud may not work in the other. So we should be able to adapt. I should be able to take what I wrote for CF Engine and use it in Puppet. I should be able to take my Puppet policies and knowledge and apply them to my inventory from Chef. All of that should be possible. Right now, it's it requires quite a bit of hacking, and although that's fun, I think we can do better. Locking customers into a single configuration management system, I believe, is not the answer. Our field needs that collaboration and portability. We need common protocols. We need ways to communicate between our agents. So I want to know at the top level what Chef did, what Puppet did, what CF Engine did. Right now, there's no way to do that in a portable, you know, neutral way. And I believe that's needed. This is something that I believe will grow the field. We can talk about it all day, but I think more action than words are needed. So as far as CF Engine goes, I'm working on these protocols, and I'm going to be collaborating with the other configuration management players to make it happen. So I wanted to give a few minutes for discussion. If anybody has questions about what I've brought up and the CAP theorem ramifications and protocol standards.
With regard to the time axis, the thing we observed in the high availability stuff field is that things happen at a certain period of time, and they're not observed until some stochastic interval has elapsed. So you don't even know. There's no sense of simultaneity at all, and just because it appears that this event occurred before that event doesn't mean that they occurred in that order at all, because of the methods of measuring and propagating the existence of some phenomena or entity has delay in it, and that delay is stochastic. It's not, it's random, and it depends on how you're measuring it and how you're measuring the two together. And even if you had we don't have systems with one common clock for all our systems such that we could do anything like that. That makes it a lot more complicated, because your idea of what the truth is always wrong, and you have to understand that it is not never going to be right. It's not a problem that you can solve. It's a problem you have to live with, have to tolerate, have to figure out how to deal with it. Yep. And for example, if you take an action based on your understanding of the situation, it turns out to be incorrect, you have to discover that that's the case, because eventually, when you have a cascading set of events that happen, they settle down. And at that point, you may make the right decision, but you don't know when that's going to happen. So you just have to kind of muddle through, so to speak, until you finally reach the point where, oh, it's settled down enough. Now I know kind of what the current state is, because things stop changing. But while they're changing, you don't have any idea what's really going on.
Yep. Well, time is an illusion. We all know that. But synchronizing clocks is even harder. In fact, I've worked at several companies that made it their business to have very synchronized clocks in the financial business.
I worked on a computer system where the CPU clocks were all off of one clock, and believe me, it was a nightmare to get that to work. It was a very specialized computer system, and you're not going to do that. It ain't happening.
Right. So I should have mentioned, I've contributed to the Cassandra database, which merges Dynamo and Bigtable, and that's where I learned enough about the CAP theorem to have wild ideas about it. So within Cassandra, we have this notion of what's an update. And really, with Cassandra in particular, the update with the newest time clock, with the latest update wins. So you have to trust your clocks. And this is not necessarily the best strategy. Some of you have used CouchDB. I know it's essential within Chef. CouchDB says you have to know your latest revision to make a new revision. So there's many ways to address this, but really the fundamental question is, what is your data consistent? And the answer is no, it's never consistent if you have more than one data source that has to be synchronized. You simply cannot achieve that. And that's the problem with configuration management that we have today, is our tolerance for partitioning is not very high. So I think we have to work on that.
So how are you proposing sharing information, sharing your database, your knowledge, and so on between the varying tools?
I think it should be a group effort, and we have to come up with protocols that announce what you've done. For knowing your infrastructure, I think we should use open source protocols, not open source protocols, open protocols such as ZeroConf to announce yourself. Multicast is another good one because ZeroConf doesn't scale across more than one subnet. With new protocols, it has to be done by all the companies that play in that space. I don't think it should be a CF Engine effort. I don't think it should be a Chef effort or a Puppet Labs effort. It should be, you know, everyone gets together and figures out what we can share and what's the best way to do it. I'm hoping XML is not a language of choice, but, you know, we do what we can.
I'm hoping it's not a language of choice also.
So you say that you want to have a common protocol. How far do you want to take that? Like, do you want to go like common information model kind of crazy, or do you think more at the protocol level?
I would like to make it an extensible protocol, which has room to grow. So in other words, you can start small. You can say, well, I want to share just, you know, these machines are web servers. That's it. Or I would like to take it as far as, you know, all my web servers should be connected to all my database servers via this route through the backend interface, or whatever, you know, whatever policy makes sense. I think it should be extensible. That's the key part.
Right, but there's a, if you look at the common information model, they really went to town on their modeling of what a server is and what storage is, and then they had vendor extensions. And I think it really got to the point where you can't actually use this to exchange information.
Right. I think the fact that we're not using it in our space indicates it's not the best answer to our problem.
Right.
If you build a comprehensive model of this sort, you're imposing so many constraints on the underlying tools that you end up with tools that only operate in a very restricted kind of way. This is why we use the fake SIM.
Right. Well, that's the challenge. And I think as a group, we're better equipped to tackle it than in isolation from each other. So.
So I was also curious what you mean in terms of discovery of environments.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Burgess, a couple of years ago, had this definition. I don't know if he's done any more work around regions of stability, where you might have stronger control over a region and then maybe work outside that region on discovery rather than having a fully discovered, kind of down to the machine level discovery.
Yep.
So I don't know. You said that you're working in this era now.
Yes. I think within Mark's research on regions of stability, he was more concerned with knowledge management. What I'm concerned about is simply knowing who you can contact for your policies, where your agents are running, things that we care about from the outside of the machine, so we can discover services that are available. I just want a way to find the services. I want to find, you know, where's my chef server, so I can connect to it. I want to find out how many CF Engine agents are running within this subnet. That kind of knowledge, which should be available externally, but right now isn't.
One thing, I'm not an expert on any of these configuration management systems, but I was going through, we have a local DevOps meeting, and I've heard a lot of different people talk about converting from Chef to Puppet or Puppet to Chef, and it takes them months because the view of the world they have is mutually inconsistent. Yep. Each of them have strengths and weaknesses, which, and a view of the world that it's not possible to translate from one to the other in any automatic way. I'm not discouraging the idea that this might happen, but I'm impressed with the magnitude of the difficulty of having a view of the world that everybody can agree upon that's sufficiently detailed to be useful and sufficiently general to be applicable to more than one tool.
Yes.
It's
a fun problem, and I think we're uniquely equipped to handle it as a community. If anybody can do it, it's us. It's not going to happen by order from above or our users. We have to do it as a community.
So I'm glad that you said that the tools are better. Some tools are better for some things, and some tools are better at other things. Since I've worked with CF Engine, I wanted to say that, but feared that would be misinterpreted. And I'm glad that, being unfamiliar with any tool, that's what you've said. I agree with you completely, but I didn't say it because I thought I might be perceived as being biased. However, getting back to the standards notion, the way that EXIF works is a collection of common information, and there's got to be common information between all of the tools, and then a well-defined mechanism for defining extensions. And the key, I think, is not to find a common view of the world that everybody can agree on, but rather find the common components of the individual views that each tool has, distill those down to the core of whatever EXIF is going to be, and then easily define extensions that can be understood, knowing whatever the worldview is of the different tools that are using the core set of attributes.
Absolutely. A very good example for this is everyone here knows about Factor, OHAI, and CF Engine has its own built-in system discovery. So I think it's crazy that we have three ways of doing the same thing. So why, let's come up with a single tool or a set of tools which produces a common format that then can be used by either CF Engine or Puppet or Chef. It's such a simple idea, and I think we can do it. Yep.
So I'll admit pretty complete ignorance when it comes to the configuration management tools. I come not from the sysadmin space, well, not recently anyway, from the sysadmin space, but from the networking space. And what Dan just described from a networking perspective sounded a whole lot like the OID tree in SNMP.
Yes. An aspect of this is, I think partly we should be making an effort to support SNMP as a way to, to provide information about each agent or server. I didn't bring it up because I didn't want people to hit me with something for saying the word SNMP, but Owen said it first. So
I'm curious how some of these assumptions change with respect to what we, refer to as the cloud environments, specifically infrastructure as a service type clouds like AWS with Amazon, EC2, and related services. Maybe you have some perspectives in terms of how CF Engine addresses that, or perhaps other configuration management tools.
Well,
it does seem like it simplifies some of these things.
I'm very hopeful for everybody to agree that there's no silver bullet for configuration management. I really believe that we have to find the right tool that fits your needs. And scaling partly is choosing the right tools at the right time. For instance, I would not use a heavy tool, something that uses 2 gigs of memory on a machine that has 256 megs of memory. It's just silly. On the other hand, if you... Sorry? However, it makes a lot of sense to use a huge tool for a machine that has 16 gigs of RAM because that's where it belongs. So it's a question of knowing your environment and learning about it. I think that's what I'm trying to say is the key to scaling is adaptability rather than a set of rules that you just follow. You learn, I was saying earlier, you have knowledge at the top level, and your policies have to adapt to that knowledge and filter down to the bottom. You learn again what happened at the bottom and how your policies make sense or not in the real world, and then you adapt at the top level again. So you have to set up that cycle, and that's how you scale.
And I guess I don't want to be talking orthogonally to what you're describing, but I do want to consider the ramification of, say, an API that you utilize in order to manage your cloud environment, which is, that is a very nice aspect that we get with these IaaS type clouds, or clouds in general, and how that simplifies things, in terms of being able to select images, that we have a very well-known understanding what's going on, being able to go and, initialize those images. The provisioning is so much easier. There's so many other easier aspects. I wonder to what extent the fact that certain things become much easier to deal with in terms of having well-known states simplifies the configuration management picture.
Yeah.
For something, again, like tools that you work on.
Yeah, it certainly makes it easier to have a image ready to go. At least half of the effort in configuration management goes towards bringing a machine from zero to a steady state. Maintaining the steady state is much easier than setting it up. There's packages to be installed, for instance. There's files to be configured, services to be started, interdependencies. So I think it's configuration management becomes easier in that sense. However, it becomes much harder when you look at your resources in interdependencies. As we know, your complexity scales not linearly but quadratically when you grow your number of machines, and that doesn't get any easier just because we have a central, you have a star model or whatever of configuration management. It's you still have to worry about interdependencies and the resource usage at every level.
What sort of that's actually a very interesting question. I don't know if I'm just keep on following this thread here. In terms of being able to manage those dependencies, those relationships between these various entities, what sort of solutions, are you looking at for doing something along those lines? I mean, in terms of some sort of configuration database, some sort of discovery. You mentioned it earlier. I'm just kind of curious if you could elaborate on how that can be done in some overarching way.
Yeah. I think we need inventory management that's adaptable and that can learn from what's happening at the edge of the system. So this kind of inventory management has to be integrated with your knowledge system. And at that point, we get into, you have to be adaptable to each individual configuration management system to teach it what you know, what you've learned. Monitoring becomes very important. You have to be able to monitor all your instances. For example, EC2 is listing your instances and their state is not enough. You have to be able to go deep into each machine, and then you have to be able to aggregate their state up to a reporting node. I used to work at Akamai as a service performance engineer, and I had the pleasure of working with their system where you have many, many thousands of machines all around the world, and you have to be able to aggregate stats up to an intermediate level or to a top level. That kind of model, I think, makes a lot of sense for us, and we don't have it right now. There's no reporting standard, and there's no simple way to gather stats. This ties in with what I mentioned about SNMP, because SNMP is a very simple protocol. It can get difficult to assemble an SNMP tree and to map it into knowledge. However, the protocol itself is very powerful and very fast. So I think if we start using these protocols to discover information and to share it, then we can get better at what we do, scaling.